to spare, my friends. And it's time for you to take the action right now. Become a new member of KBOO. Help us meet this amazing challenge to raise $15,000 in new money right now with your support, increasing your membership, or becoming a new member of KBOO right now. 877-500-5266 is the number to call when you go ahead and decide how much it is you can contribute to KBOO to keep us strong together, how you can participate in community radio, in independent media. Be a grassroots supporter, $10 a month. Go ahead, take the plunge. Give us $10 a month, and together we change the world. 877-500-5266.
And thank you so much, Ani and Ken. We'll get back to Pitch Central in a few minutes. Coming up next, Chris Andre with Air Cascadia right here on KBOO Portland.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Lunch was provided by Sunni Thai and Lao Kitchen, 1400 Southeast Stark Street. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week, up to 9:30 p.m. Sunday through Thursday, and up to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Dinner was provided by Kim Jong Grillin, a Korean barbecue truck and cart on Southeast Division and 46th. Open Monday to Saturday, noon till 8 p.m. and Sunday, noon to 6 p.m.
Cascadia. Today is World AIDS Day. It's December 1st, 2016. And you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM on the web. Don't forget, that's a great way to become a member of KBOO right now. This is it. You'll always think about December 1st, 2016. That's when you became a member. Perhaps came down, volunteered, learned how to make radio. What KBOO offers is such an extraordinary wealth of opportunities to make the world a better place, make yourself, make your own world a better place. And now, during the show, of course, we want to get as many calls as possible coming in. The number to call is 1-877-500-5266. There are lots of ways to get that number, and you don't even need the number. You just need to click on that one tab on your computer, and it'll all happen. Today's guests are Kevin Zeiss with Popular Resistance. Kevin Zeiss and Dr. Margaret Flowers are heading to Standing Rock as this weekend, as are 2,000 veterans. They've got military guys. We've got military guys. Okay? So it's U.S. military guys versus what? Other U.S. military guys. Actually, though, what really should be happening is one sovereign nation talking with another sovereign nation. That's how grown-ups do it. And if we're still waiting for the grown-ups to come and fix the mess that we have made, they're not coming. And but there are plenty of other people here to take up the slack. We forget that in Iowa, farmers are very concerned. The Oglala Aquifer is what they depend on for their farms to persist and to flourish. If that is tainted, if that is in any way contaminated, as it will be, as it absolutely will be, you cannot build a pipeline under an enormous river or rivers, let's say it that way, and not have something go wrong. And the farmers in Iowa know it. And they have been out in great numbers. They've chained themselves to machinery in the name of stopping the Dakota Access Pipeline from going through and destroying farms that have been in families for many generations. This is a story that is unfolding. Ed Fallon of the Fallon Forum and Iowa Bold is out there right now in a giant snowdrift in a collapsed tent. And much is going on at the encampment there. We will probably get a report later in the show. Right now, Kevin Zeese is on the line. Kevin Zeese, as you many of you know, is an organizer with Popular Resistance. It's an extraordinary project. It's our economy, creative resistance, and a radio show. They're all projects of Popular Resistance. And Zeese is, of course, also an attorney who's been a political activist for, these many years. Good morning, Kevin, and welcome to KBOO Airwaves.
Thanks for having me on.
We're really delighted. You and Dr. Margaret Flowers are heading out to Standing Rock, I understand.
That's right.
Yeah. And reporting, of course, for Popular Resistance. There's a lot of ways of seeing Standing Rock. It's like, you know, the proverbial elephant, and we are all blind people discovering it in our many ways. I personally, I'm a fan of Ava Pecos Melton, an Indigenous attorney, and she fights for the rights of women on reservations. And she has given us a handy breakdown of comparing Indigenous and tribal justice with American justice, and the differences are stark. Standing Rock, of course, is where they are being played out right now. When you go there, what was your primary intent?
Well, we saw that, of course, the Corps of Engineers had announced an eviction that starts Sunday, and so Sunday and Monday will be the time when that occurs, if they do anything. The governor has called a state of emergency and was trying to stop food and other necessities coming into the camp, has pledged no public assistance, like no snow plowing of the roads. And so we thought this was like a key moment to be there. We've been following Standing Rock, reporting on it, participating in solidarity events in D.C. and Baltimore. And we thought this was a time to really put our bodies out there and be part of Standing Rock. So that's our major event intent as the timing. What we do when we get there will determine what they need us to do. Mm-hmm. Margaret has been talking. She's a doctor, has been talking to the medics who are there and will probably be working in the medic tent. I've written to the lawyers out there to see if I can help as a lawyer, but I'm willing to do whatever's needed. I don't have to be a lawyer, that's for sure. I'm happy to haul things or build things. Whatever needs to be done at this point is what we're going to be trying to do.
And there's some hard weather out there. The confluence of power is extraordinary. Dalrymple, I'm not sure whether any of these entities are on firm legal ground, and it would take a while to sort it out, I believe. Dalrymple state of emergencies, maybe it's a state of emergency for the Army Corps of Engineers, but First Nations people know how to live in these conditions. This is their element, their environment. This is what they're fighting for, in fact. The harsh conditions that we see, it would be really frightening if it was a bright sunny day at Standing Rock. That would be terrifying. If it's snow, not terrifying.
Well, I don't think it's the role of the government to make the conditions harsher or more difficult. This is a totally peaceful, ceremonial, prayerful encampment. There are no weapons allowed at the camp, no drugs or alcohol allowed at the camp. They are there, to serve one purpose, and that's to protect the water and prevent the pipeline. And that's a concept for them that means they want to protect the water, for seven generations into the future. And so that's why they're doing that. And so for the governor to undermine that effort with the police force and threats of keeping necessities out just shows how far off track our government has gotten, how much they are in the control of oligarchs, those who will profit from government policy. And that's the problem. That's why this is so important, because it really is one of those issues that sharpens the focus on the problem of, big business controlling our government and acting for the benefit of big business, no matter what it does to the people or the planet, and that's what this is about.
Just, it does seem that corporate interests are dictating government moves. There are, and there are indeed mercenaries that's been documented, and the concept of any sort of justice, it has never discussed. It's always standing up, is always spoken of, the mainstream media, in terms of conflict. It seems that the conflict may be sort of a sui generis conflict. And,
well, you know, conflict has always been a key issue in the success of political movements. Mm. When the government and corporations abuse their power, you know, like bringing dogs in or turning water cannons or hoses onto protesters in freezing cold weather, or taking steps like denying food or clear roads. These are the kinds of things that show a people in authority struggling, not knowing how to handle the situation. And that's because if they handle the situation correctly, it means changing our way of life. The science, what's so bizarre about this to me, is the science is very clear right now. We need to stop building carbon infrastructure. We don't need any more carbon infrastructure. We need to stop it. We need to keep it in the ground because we are over the tipping point and not need to start to find ways to reverse that through new forms of agriculture and such. And so they are fighting so hard to put in pipelines that science says should not be built because it will destroy the planet. And here we are, peaceful protesters who are standing up to that and saying we need to change our way of life. We cannot drink oil. We need to. We cannot live in a planet that's flooded or in drought because of climate chaos. And yet, here we are. The government is acting this way on behalf of corporate interests of big oil and gas, where even Donald Trump is invested, and his allies are invested in the corporations that will profit. So the corruption is really sharpened with Donald Trump as an investor in this. And I assume that the water protectors will be continuing when Trump is president, and so how he handles this, I think, will be very interesting for all of us to see, and will really sharpen the focus of the corruption of government. And hopefully people will recognize that Donald Trump, those who are struggling economically, they'll recognize that Donald Trump was not their answer, that he is more of Wall Street. You can see in his appointments, he is more of a Wall Street hedge fund government, and we don't need more of that. We need to end that kind of connection between government and economic big business interests.
Kevin, we have such a short period of time frame. We've got to talk about all of these things. I wanted to get into the Eva Pecos Milton's comparison of indigenous justice, and I want to ask you about, is this possibly a template, a model for what we really need to do? If we do want to change things, if we do prevent Trump from enacting his agenda, we may have to do what's being done right at Standing Rock. They have nothing left to lose if the pipeline goes through. That'll be it. So they are taking a stand, and they're joined by so many people now who are beginning to understand that when you have nothing left to lose, you fight to the very end. And they will. They will not back down. I don't see anyone. Right. I don't see them backing down. Just one final thought for you before we go out. We are in membership drive, and before we go out to the membership room, what would you want? Listeners to take with them to this today?
Just two quick points. One, this is a fight that is going to be a template for the future for us. Indigenous leadership, especially in the climate struggle and environment, is very important. But we need to lead ourselves. We're all leaders now. We need to step up and do our work. And it will take initially action in the streets to change the political culture. And then it will take other actions to change the way the power structure responds to us. So this pipeline, this view, is one we should all support. They're calling for December to be a day of action in support of the stopping the pipeline, and I hope people will join that effort. If you want to stay on top of this, visit popularresistance.org, and we will be reporting on this regularly. We already have been for months, but we'll keep reporting on it. We'll let people know what we're doing out there. And if people want to support our efforts, they can go to the donate page and donate, because everything we're doing costs money. We expect this will be thousands of dollars for us to go out to support the no DAPL protest. So hope people will sign up, get involved, and do whatever they can to support the effort.
Kevin, thank you so much. I'm so glad that you were able to take the time right now to talk with us. A lot more going on at Popular Resistance. It's the coverage of every aspect of events right now is extraordinary. So have a look at that. This has been, of course, Cascadia. We're going to go talk now with Kenneth and Jenka in the membership room. This is the final day of a three-day push to get KeenBOO over that Sisyphean funding mountain.
We're getting there. We need your help now, though. We need you to be a part of this, and we urge you to call 877-500-5266. If you need to, like, pull over, if you need to remember that number, it's 877-500-KBOO. You are grassroots supporter. Keep us independent for shows like Air Cascadia. We depend on you to keep our community strong. This is the last day. This is your last chance to support during this holiday drive. I urge you to do it right now. We're trying to raise $500 in the next few minutes. So if you could, if we just have a couple of people giving $20 a month and just pledging right now for $20 a month, that way you get the KBOO hoodie and that gets the goal for Air Cascadia. Call right now, 877-500-KBOO. My name is Jenka. I'm here with Ken this morning.
Oh, Jenka, I'd like to, again, mention those matching funds. This is for new members. So if you're like me, a few years ago where I was listening to KBOO for several years and was kind of on the fence and I heard these membership drives and I said, I'll give. Then the membership drive ended and the next one began and that ended and I still wasn't a member. Eventually, I started donating and I feel much better about it. It's the perfect time to do it today. We have the matching funds for thanks to Collins Foundation and SSI Shredding. And that means if you're a new member, like I was, your donation will be matched 1-to-1. So a $10 donation every month, that's $120 a year. KBOO actually receives $20 a month, $240 a year. So call now, 877-500-5266. As Jenka mentioned, this is the last day of our three-day holiday membership drive. It ends at midnight tonight, so there's no better time to call than